guys. Happy Monday. Welcome back to Kindled. I'm your host, Haley. So today I have a very fun episode with my friend Samantha Collins to bring to you. And we're chatting all things homesteading, or rather just how to become less of a consumer and more of a producer, and just the small steps that we can take. I think we've all seen over the last several months, as we've started to notice the very real effects in our supply chain, availability of the food that we buy, the products that we use, that we can't depend on the government or on the global supply chain the way that we used to. And things feel a little bit more volatile. Prices are sky high. And that's left a lot of us asking, what can we practically do to become a little less dependent and so incredibly enmeshed with everything that, you know, we've always kind of trusted in, all the systems that we've always just expected to produce. And so this episode is really just a starter and to kind of whet your appetite to start thinking about what you can do. So that is a great conversation coming up in a second with Samantha. Before I get into that, I want to let you know that today's sponsors are alongside them, Little Light Artisans Jewelry and Lacey Baumiller. So stay tuned to hear about the discount offers and coupon codes that you can get as a Kindle listener when you support their businesses. And I am picky about the advertisers that I allow to advertise on Kindle. I don't just take anyone. I don't take any advertisers on that I have not either experienced or used or received, seen with my own eyes, their product, whether that is jewelry or clothing or a service, whatever it might be, a product. These are people that I know personally, that I've talked to, that are listeners here, followers, supporters. They're on our side. They are believers. They are, many of them, small businesses and just wives and moms like you and I. So consider supporting them. If there is something that is right up your alley, try it out. Hopefully that coupon code will make it a little bit easier to say yes. Other than that, I just want to remind you that I am getting closer to that summer break. Every summer I take a couple months off of publishing new episodes, which is just such a critical time for me to take a break, to rest, to pull away from the crazy production schedule of a podcast episode every week. In addition to my regular work as a web designer and graphic designer, which I do, in being a mom of three and now being a chicken caretaker, it's going to be a busy summer around here. It's going to be awesome. But what I don't stop doing is producing fire starters. So every Friday, I will still be producing those episodes inside the Locals app. And if you want to keep hearing from me all summer, then you can join us at kindledpodcast.locals.com. It's 10 bucks a month, and I would love to see you in there. All right, that's all I have. So here is my conversation with Samantha Collins. Okay, so today on Kindled, I am chatting with Samantha Collins. Samantha, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
So before we get into our topic, I would love for you to introduce yourself to listeners and tell them who you are and a little bit about your life.
Yeah. So again, my name is Samantha Collins. I have been married to my husband for, we're going to be going on, well, we just went on 10 years in July, at the end of July. And we have two kids, a boy and a girl. My son is going to be 5 and my daughter's just turned 2. We live in the Midwest, and I have had the way you and I connected was through social media, through Instagram, and I have had sort of, for a while I was influencer, more so working with brands and stuff, and that all kind of came to a big halt and really changed and redirected about a year and a half ago with the BLM riots and stuff. I started to speak out. And around that time, brands stopped reaching out to me. So cancel culture and kind of that mob mentality of not wanting to work with people who had conservative Christian values. And and also I stopped looking for opportunities because I found that in a lot of ways, some of those larger corporate entities were catering to kind of the woke culture that we are seeing creep into society right now and into our country. And so I didn't really want to promote that or be a part of that anymore. It meant taking some very passive income that I was bringing into our family and kind of tossing it out the window and saying, just kind of giving it to God and and just saying, it just doesn't feel right. It's not sitting well in my heart anymore to do this. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to speak truth and speak how I feel, speak about my values, speak about Christ, speak about what's happening and not feel belittled conflict, for that or not. Right. Yeah. Or not feel like I have to remain quiet. And right. So I was very much convicted in that way. So that's kind of, my social media presence has switched from kind of doing more the traditional influencer stuff, you know, swipe up and buy this and whatnot, mm-hmm. to more about speaking out about my faith and stuff. And honestly, it's been so much more fulfilling for me and just so much more worthwhile. And I mean, it's how I've met and gotten to know people like you and others on the platform. So a lot of good has come from making that decision and I didn't go back.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. I actually didn't really know that was your history before a year and a half ago, because that's probably when we connected. So I probably didn't see anything other than what you do today, you know? And so, I think that your story is one that is common. And I just think it's really cool how God sets these series of events up in our lives. Like when you were building an Instagram following and when you were working with brands, like you didn't see what was going to be coming. You know, you just thought this, and it was a blessing to you when it was what it was. Right. And then, but then there came a point where it had to shift and it had to transition, and you opened that with, you know, with, humility towards God, and then, or you welcomed that and look what he's done. Like he has continued to, you know, it's just like he was building something for himself and not for you in the strictest sense of the words. But I think that's really cool how, you know, he allows us to be involved, but it also often requires our submission to developments that we were like, oh, but that's not what I thought we were doing, you know? And I see the same thing in my story. So that's cool.
Yeah. And it was really hard too. Cause when that all happened, I was getting, you know, at the time, a lot of the people that followed me were either very apolitical or maybe more left leaning than I realized. And so they were so offended by what I was sharing, and it really sort of sifted the wheat, if you will. And now my following is more of quality. It's people who are like-minded and who I feel I can encourage and who encourage me. And, you know, just the collective voice the collective voice around those values that we hold on to. It's really encouraging. And it's definitely
that is cool. I saw the same thing happen with myself on Instagram, because when I started Kindled, it was much more, you know, about just business. I mean, work, motherhood, entrepreneurship. I did talk about faith a lot. It was very integrated, but I didn't ever talk about politics. I never talked about anything controversial. It was just like, you know, people don't really mind. Yeah. That people don't really honestly mind you talking about your faith as long as it's your faith. That's your truth. Yeah. I love that for you. But the second that you make it like, it's actually what is right for everyone. The second that starts to bleed into, you know, absolute truth and those types of words start coming up, it's not so well accepted anymore. And we know that, but I saw the same thing happen because I had a much more just kind of like watered down audience, I guess, that was after that type of like positive, encouraging, uplifting. And when I started, And then when I started talking about, I think Jen Hatmaker was the first, her affirming LGBTQ was actually the first story that I kind of picked up and started talking about. Cause I was just, I think it was such a jarring moment for me and such a, like a wake up that, I mean, I had all kinds of people, like even real life friends, like start just unfollowing and canceling my husband and I, and it was, you know, but at the same time, I'm like so thankful that God allowed me to endure that suffering, because look how he has grown me through it. And look how he has, you know, been able to use what I'm doing to glorify him. So it's just, it's like, how can we complain about the suffering when it's bringing him glory, you know?
Exactly. And I agree. Everything you said is like so spot on, and it was super hard. And I remember crying and telling my husband, like, this just hurts. It hurts to be getting personal text messages from people I grew up with that I used to know, who are telling me I'm so terrible for saying what I'm saying. And yeah, it was really tough. And it definitely was a trying time. But as you said, God definitely saw me through and helped strengthen me. And now it's just, there's so much, it's God really behind all of it, as far as like the confidence I have now to speak truth and not hold back and to have conversations about Him and, you know, His word. Like, I think prior to that, it's not that I held back, but maybe the conversations weren't as raw as they are now. Mm-hmm. And it's been a cool experience. So
that's really cool.
Yeah. And I think all of that has kind of led me to, over the last year and a half, really hone in on kind of the culture we're in right now and the world we're in right now, what we're seeing politically and as Christians. My husband and I are starting to talk about our future and kind of where, you know, we see ourselves in the next 2, 5, 10 years and mm-hmm. what that looks like as a family. And I know that's a little bit about what we wanted to kind of talk about today too. So,
I think that as you have, you know, started sharing things that you believe that are really foundational to your faith, you're also kind of taking people on this journey along with you, as we all are, as we're sharing, you know, our own personal development. And like you said, you've realized and you've seen a lot of the ways that we tend as Americans to just kind of be dependent on the government, on the system, maybe not in the traditional sense, like we may not be on welfare or we may not be on food stamps, but we are so integrated. Our lives are so just inextricable from this big machine. And as we have seen that machine start to kind of turn on us, and perhaps the people who run it actually really maybe not want our good and not want our protection as citizens, it has caused many of us to question the way we've done things. And man, am I really being a good steward of my resources or of my family or of our future that God has entrusted me with? If I continue to do things the way that I always have, when it's mm-hmm. evident that, that something new is happening and, or maybe just something old that is now developed to a degree that it's like, you can no longer deny it. And you know, with government overreach and really just kind of, what has been going on for a while in the United States is just this push towards socialism and communism and, mm-hmm. You know, being beholden to countries like China and Russia and, like how we just, literally supplied the Taliban with billions of dollars of weapons, you know, I mean, look at that. It's just all of these things that are happening. We're watching as, you know, as moms. Here, you and I, mm-hmm. we're moms at home with our kids, you know, living our lives. And we're actually asking some really big questions of ourselves. Talk to me about like what you have kind of, what are some of the conclusions that you have come to as you have asked those questions?
Yeah. So just speaking from a mother's perspective with, you know, everything you mentioned that's going on in the world, the leaning towards socialism, everything going on in the Middle East, overseas. You know, I try to always just stay grounded in the simple fact that, you know, my God-given role is keeper of this home, keeper of my children, to work, you know, alongside my husband in raising them and to love the Lord. And I feel like we just, as moms, we need to always remember that's our number one focus. And my husband always tells me, you're home base. And I just think all moms need to realize that, like, we are home base. So first and foremost, we create the safe and nurturing environment that our kids grow in, where we teach them to honor, know, and love God, and where we build our home and trust in Him for all things. And part of that building of the home, kind of, when we look at the future, is where is our world going? So, you know, I feel like, yes, as mothers, we need to be focused on the home, but we need to see what lies ahead. And, you know, God also gave us wisdom. We pray for wisdom. We ask for wisdom to look at what's going on in the world, to be readers of the news and aware of the news, but not be overly consumed by the news and headlines. And, And in the past, I really honestly didn't even look at politics. I was like, it stresses me. I'm just not even going to look. I put the blinders up. And then I had kids. And then, you know, my oldest, like I said, is going to be 5. And now look at the world that they are going to be growing up in. It's just so different from the world you and I grew up in. And as I look ahead, as my husband and I look ahead, we want to make sure we're stewarding them in a way that they have success and that they are as protected as possible. And when I say protected as possible, I don't mean to wrap them in bubble wrap and not let them be exposed to things. But what I mean is, how can we teach them values and values that are rooted in the blood of Christ, that are so important to what we want them to pass down to their children and our great-grandchildren and generation after generation. And a lot of that comes in just going back to the basics. Like, I feel like our society has just really kind of spun out of control with depending on big tech, depending on these convenience capitalism, and really looking to, you know, the way, I mean, just the way that kids in our generation has consumed social media. I think now we're coming out of it being like, whoa, this is an evil beast. Like, it can be used for good, but there's a lot of evil there. And a lot of us are like, that have kids around the same age, we're like, they aren't going to have social media, or, you know, like we're really, it's really going to change, I think. And you see big tech like Facebook and stuff and Instagram making platforms that are going to be geared towards kids. I mean, I think they just recently came out with that they're working on, like, for 13 and under, I don't know if it's Instagram for kids 13 and under or something like that. And I'm like, heck no, don't even come near me with that. And so protecting our kids from some of this stuff and, you know, trying to be less dependent on technology, really. These, mm-hmm. I mean, they track us. They, we give them so much of our private information, mm-hmm. and they really use it. You know, they hide it under the guise of like, we're helping you, we're providing you these convenient ways to get things done more efficiently. And it seems really great on the surface, but when you mm-hmm. kind of look underneath the hood, you see that they eventually use it for evil. You know, mm-hmm. The elites in the world obviously are all contributing into the social media networks and all mm-hmm. the, you know, these big tech, Google.
Life is busy enough without having to figure out what's for dinner. Lacey Baumiller with the 5-Minute Meal will teach you a simple weekly meal planning system that will simplify mealtime, save you from the overwhelm of wondering what to make for dinner every night, and help you prepare nutritious meals that will move the needle on your health goals. Plus, your entire family will love them. No more last-minute takeout that's going to sabotage your weight loss efforts. No more making separate meals for yourself. You can actually sit down and enjoy a hot meal with your family. The 5-Minute Meal teaches you the foundation of healthy nutrition and gives you a simple meal plan that'll help you have dinner on the table in minutes, recipes, shopping lists, and a step-by-step process to make all of it happen. Grab your free download from Lacey at LaceyBaumiller.com. That's LaceyBaumiller.com. And for anyone who downloads the 5-Minute Meal, you will also get a free 15-minute pantry audit where Lacey will teach you how to stock your pantry to make this process effortless. Check it all out at LaceyBaumiller.com.
Right. Did you read Live Not by Lies?
I did. I mean, first of all, I haven't read it in its entirety, but I've read some chapters of it, and it was a wake up. I want to say that was like what really reaffirmed my husband and I kind of the direction we wanted to go with with our future. Right.
As you were just talking, I was remembering back to the book, which I recommend everybody listen to or read or whatever. I had the audio version, but I mean, I can't remember the guy's name that said this, but he was one that escaped communist Russia or the Eastern Bloc. He said he could not, and he actually like lived very far into, you know, the 21st century to where he was able to actually see some of the shifts start to happen even here in the United States. And he said he could not believe that people would put a speaker in their home, like the Alexa, you know? And he was like, I can't, how do they not see that this, the potential there is to, is there for government, right? Exactly. Like you're bugging it with this, not only, you know, is the potential there for any company, but it's literally from Amazon, you know, which is, it may, I think my concern is like that people probably listening, some people listening are like, wait, so are you telling me you think someone's listening to all your Alexa footage? Like everything you say is always being listened to. I don't think you or I are saying that necessarily, but we are saying that the potential is there and that we know that the company that it's from is actually part of that globalist elites group that does not want the status quo, does not want to see America remain the way it has been, to see individual rights be preserved, and actually is lobbying in the opposite direction. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, if you have anything to add to that, I just think that it's important to kind of differentiate, like, we're not saying that everything you do is literally just being cataloged right now. Now it is actually technically, because otherwise how would Alexa know when you say her name? You know, she is like, there are records obviously, but, I think there's a difference between saying like it is actively being used a certain way or there's the potential there.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I mean, if you just kind of look at the way in the last, 8 months, things went around the election. I mean, President of the United States was deplatformed from social media. You and I know countless people who have been deplatformed on social media aside from him, just people with large followings who speak out in opposition to the left's agenda. We see big tech and big data being used for evil, in my opinion. I mean, you can't post anything, any opinion about COVID or anything without them scanning your post and then slapping a big label on it, you know, across the middle. Mm-hmm. So everything we're posting, I mean, it's going through a system, it's being scanned over and it's being looked at, it's being fact checked. And you know, when I think of that, and then you know, it's like, what would make me think that the Alexa is maybe it's okay right now, but eventually they could use it. I mean, they could use it in ways that would be unethical, in my opinion. And so I guess I just have little trust for them. They've kind of shown their colors over the last year, and that's been a big awakening for me. What I thought was a service that was so convenient and nice and helpful, I now realize is much bigger and stronger and more powerful and more dictator-like than I ever gave it credit for. And and I think that awareness, you know, it's concerning. Right. And in the Live Not By Lies book, he talks about surveillance capitalism and he talks about how, you know, we are a society that basically is willing to sell privacy, data, information about ourselves. We're willing to give it up. We're willing to let a device listen to us talk, all day long. And, you know, for convenience and the sake of convenience. And, you know, we really have to think twice about that. Do we really trust the people on the other side of this technology? And right now my gut tells me no. And that's how our family is feeling. So we had an Alexa, we were gifted it. We didn't think anything of it. We loved it. We loved playing music on it. That's primarily what we used it for. And then we read Live Not By Lies. My husband did a little more digging. He came in one day, unplugged it, and said, it's going. So he completely unplugged it. I think it's sitting next to our garbage can in the basement. We haven't thrown it into the trash yet. I think he wants to smash it with a hammer. But So we don't use it anymore. And instead, I just bought a little Bluetooth speaker and I send my music from my phone to the Bluetooth speaker. And I mean, and that's the other thing too, right? Like, we could whittle this down and be like, well, what's trashing your Alexa matter when you still have an iPhone? you still, you know what I mean? You could really kind of whittle it down and be like, the only way this is really going to work is if you go off the grid and live like a nomad in the middle of the woods. Like, mm-hmm. you're always going to be tracked to some degree. And that is true. But how much power and leverage do we really want to give? And how much do we want to give up? And, you know, I feel like in some sense, you and I, since we've probably been using social media since its inception, we are kind of, for lack of better terms, too late in yeah. some ways, but our kids are not. And like, so we used to post pictures of our kids quite a bit, and now we have not. And I know that's a personal conviction thing, and everybody has mm-hmm. to decide this on their own, but we know that Facebook and Instagram, Facebook more primarily, is got better facial recognition software than the FBI. And I was talking to somebody about that who worked for big tech. And he said that the reason for that is because the government doesn't pay very well. Big tech pays good.
Right.
So they get the smart guys. They get the people that make
privatized. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So so when you, and then the same reason, so when you post a picture to Facebook of 20 people in the photo and it naturally recognizes everyone and takes them because it's stored and scanned our facial features and knows who everyone is. And where are they storing that? Like, how do they retrieve that? Where is that data? Like, where have we sent all of that? And I guess, so we have started to not post our kids online anymore. For that reason, we just figure, you know what, our privacy is pretty much out the window, but we can kind of maybe delay or stop or thwart this, the effort by big tech to pull our children down with the system, because who knows how they're going to use this.
Yeah. That's interesting.
50 years down the road, you know?
Right. Yeah. And no one does know. And I mean, we couldn't have even seen some of the stuff that's happened, you know, so far with like censorship on Instagram. Instagram a year ago, I would have, I mean, it was already starting a year ago, but 18 months ago or 2 years ago, like I would never have believed it would have gotten as bad as it has. I would have thought, oh, surely our laws will protect us, or surely the Constitution matters, doesn't it? You know, like we've got a Bill of Rights. Like, where's that going to come into play? The someone will say something, someone will fight. And as we've seen, like, of course there have been people who have fought and tried to fight and are still fighting, but it doesn't mean that there won't be, a lot of, you know, a lot of injustice done and a lot of wrong done and, evil perpetrated in the meantime. And it also doesn't mean that the good guys win. It just doesn't. No. We don't have hope in that. And so, but it doesn't mean we should not live wisely in an evil age. Exactly. And the Bible says we should. So, exactly. So yeah, the Alexa thing is just a relatable example of one way that you're doing that. And you know, full disclosure, I still have one. I kind of have it on a to-do list to like find a good big speaker, because it's like what we do every night. We have dance parties, and that's really the only thing I need it for. So I really don't use any functionality other than that. So, which is probably true for most families, I would imagine. Like, that's just kind of the biggest plus of having it. And then so, but that's not a good enough reason, you know, to have it. So I'm on the same track that you are. I just need to find a really good big speaker. So maybe we can link the one that you found in the show notes and people can check that out.
Yeah.
So aside from that and the social media, I mean, what else have you guys kind of started doing in terms of, even if it is just, you know, not totally turning your life inside out, upside down, going off the grid, but ways that you are kind of slowly, even if it's just training yourself how to be a little bit less dependent on the system, what are some of the things you're doing?
Sure. Yeah. So my husband and I have always, since we met, have always had dreams and aspirations of having property, having land, and building a home and having land big enough for gardens and fruit trees and maybe animals, we're not sure. but we've always kind of had that dream in mind. So that's not necessarily anything new to us to want that. I I just, I've always loved to garden. So that's not new either. I've always loved to garden. We're starting to see how, again, going back to being super dependent on this, being consumers and not producers. When you think back to the era of the Bible, people tilled and sowed their own seeds and land and worked with their hands in the ground and grew their own food. And I look at that and I just see value in that. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's for everyone, of course, but maybe even just like basic knowledge. I think people can start to look at how they, if you live in an apartment, like how can you container garden on your patio? How can you just small scale square foot garden in your backyard? Mm-hmm. How can you, if you have more property, how can you, plant maybe some fruit trees? Like, I just feel like we have become so dependent on society and our systems to provide everything we need that we've sort of become super dependent and
so true.
And we want convenience, and we've kind of lost touch with how we were made, how we were designed. We were designed to work the land. We were designed to get our hands in soil and plant and harvest, and and we see that from in Genesis, and I think it's just a beautiful, beautiful way for people to connect, kind of at our root with God. And so we're big proponents of gardening. We love to garden. We have a small house. We're in a little suburban community right now, and we have 3 square foot garden beds that we garden in. And we've been doing something similar in the last homes we've lived in, which have been rentals. Actually, they've just had garden beds in them, which has been really nice. So for about 5 or 6 years now, we've been gardening, and it's really been just learn as you go. So on my Instagram, I talk a lot about gardening and how you can just get started. And I have a lot of people who are like, I don't garden. How can I do this? What can I do? And that's just encouraging to me. And I encourage them. That's all you can do is get started. So I feel like gardening's a great place to start. If you don't have plans to buy land and move to a red state and do all that, you can just do with what you have in your own home, in your own backyard. You would be surprised how much people can do with, an acre of land or less, a fourth of an acre. There's just a lot that can be done and a lot of creativity there. And so growing your own food is a big one. And then just things like hunting, fishing, sewing, baking from scratch. There's just so many basic things that I think we have become so detached with. And, a lot of those things aren't necessarily things that people find enjoyment in. Maybe they weren't raised doing any of that. And they just are like, oh, it just seems boring. I don't want to sew. I don't like sewing. Part of me feels like there's just this necessity for us to appreciate and to at least have a little bit of an understanding of how those things work. And so I think just simplifying and going back to the basics in life and that kind of stuff is how you can kind of push back against this machine,
Right.
Speaking of knowing biblical truth, if you want an easy way to help your children learn the truth of God's word, check out the Basics Catechism and the Commandment Catechism available from alongside them. Their catechisms are written with simple and short answers that are easy for your little ones to repeat and remember. A scripture reference is included on each page to dig deeper into God's word together. Multiple ages can learn together from toddlers to parents. You can easily integrate this into your Bible time, family worship, right before bed. Visit their shop at etsy.com/shop/alongsidethem and follow them on Instagram @alongsidethem. The owners Kira and Kenzie are giving Kindled listeners $5 off your order of $16.50 or more when you use the coupon code KINDLED5. So don't forget to use that at checkout. You can also scroll down in the show notes of this episode for a quick link to their store. You can find them at Etsy at etsy.com/shop/alongsidethem.
Right. And there's, like you said, I like how you put it. You said there is value in all of those things. They're even talked about in the Bible, like, not to be too cheesy, yeah, but like the Proverbs 31 woman does talk about, like, that Proverbs 31 does talk about all these things that woman does. And there is mention of, you know, waking early before her family does to, you know, to prepare food or to sow or to, you know, buy and sell a field, like all of these things that, that you're kind of talking about. And not to say that you have to be doing all those things to be a biblical woman or to be glorifying to God, but that there is value in those things. There's value. And I mean, obviously there's value because we use all of it. We wear clothes, we eat food. It's just that we've outsourced it. And that's become the only driving ethic in the West, is like, how much can I outsource? How much can I have someone else do for me? And, you know, and I am just as susceptible to that belief kind of as someone else. I mean, I outsource my grocery shopping. I don't go to the grocery store, like, unless I need a random thing, 'cause I just use Instacart.
Yep. Same.
Which is a reasonable convenience for a mom of three who is very busy and does not want to bring three kids to the store. And that's, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I love it. But there are also, it doesn't mean that there's no value in knowing how to grow your own food or knowing how to fix something either by hand sewing or on a sewing machine, like, which I know how to do both. Like, it doesn't mean that those things become irrelevant, you know? I actually think that, like you said, I think that we have gotten, in many ways, even just within your and I's generation, like, that's kind of the generation that I think has gotten the detached from a lot of those skills, maybe the one before as well, Gen X. But but like my mom, you know, when I was little, we were very poor and she sewed clothes for me. Like, she made us matching sweatshirts, you know, like I remember our snowman sweatshirts that my brother and I, and she, like, and even my dad, like, all had these matching, like, she actually did that. I remember, like, eating strawberries from the backyard, you know. Of course they also shopped at a grocery store, but like they did a lot of those things. And and that's because her mother taught her, and my grandma also taught me how to sew. And all of these things are just very, I don't know, that I think that we have lost sense and lost sight of the value of them. But unfortunately, we are kind of coming to a place in history where we are actually realizing that, yikes, I maybe would feel better if I had a way to grow my own food, just because we saw with the whole COVID thing, like, grocery stores running out of toilet paper, like
everything,
you know, the noodle aisles, you know, with all the box noodles, all that packaged stuff was like just literally gone. Like, it got a little bit crazy for a while, and that, you know, that could happen again. Also, if, you know, if government goes in the wrong direction, that could become the norm. Like, and so I think that it's just important for all of us to kind of start to ask those questions. How can I be more independent? How can I detach myself? What are the things I can do today? Starting where I am with what I have, not just, you know, not trying to heap a million to-dos on myself and stress myself out. Right. That's not the goal. But just to make small, reasonable changes. And like, your kids are going to love that. You know, if you set up a little garden, even if it's just like you set a container on your back porch or whatever, your kids are going to love that. And that's going to be part of their upbringing.
Exactly.
So there's so much, there's just a lot of value and a lot of good that comes from that. So what practical tips do you have for someone who wants to get started? Like, where, well, actually let's ask this question. What does success look like? Like, what does it look like to be, you know, preparing and being wise with, you know, with living in an evil day like we do today?
Yeah. So as far as preparing, I mean, that's, and what success looks like, I mean, that's going to be different for everyone, you know. That's going to be different for everyone. And I think the best thing we can do is just have that awareness of the world around us. Like I mentioned earlier, we can be forward thinking and be wise in decisions. We can train and our children to love those simple, basic things of life, more disconnected from technology, less dependent on technology, getting their hands in the dirt, planting, learning the value of growing something from a little seed mm-hmm. and harvesting it in the summer or the fall. You know, whether it be bringing sons or daughters hunting or fishing, just passing down those skill sets that are, you know, of the hands, you know, of hard, good work. And I just feel like those sorts of things are the things that the generation below us and coming up, they're kind of missing. And I feel like we have adopted these convenience factors into our lives, but they, instead of making us less busy, they have made us busier, more dependent. And so are we really being productive? And what does that productivity look like? So having a real conversation with yourself, praying about it, talking to your husband, just, you know, identifying ways that you can make small shifts starting ASAP to introduce those kinds of things in your home as you kind of build your home. And, you know, even little things too, like baking from scratch, learning how to can and preserve food. We talked about sewing. Like there's just so many little things that we have become so disconnected with that we can start to try to do.
Mm-hmm. And Pinterest is a good place to get ideas of recipes, that sort of thing. I mean, use technology to help you do this because I've seen some really cool information on Pinterest about like the 1 acre, 1 acre farms basically that are, that people are doing on their small plot of land. They're in their HOA, in their just little backyard, like most of us have. And it's like, wow, like, I guess I, you know, in my mind and maybe somewhat in yours too, is just like, I can't do the type of thing that I would want unless I have like this big area of land, but then it's like, why not? You know, like I can actually you can grow a lot of food on a quarter acre. Like you really can.
Yeah, and so absolutely.
I think that's just a cool way to maybe rethink some of the stereotypes that you might have about who is allowed to do that and who isn't.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing that our society has become, like, you know, you have your little acre or your half acre in a suburb and you got your house on it and that's it. And like, you can't, maybe you have a little garden spot. Well, but you can do so much more if you really want to. You just got to take an effort and, you know, take the effort and time and be intentional about seeing how you can make changes. And so, and I, like for us, like I said, we're going to buy property. That's always been our dream. Again, a little bit more property with a home on it. And we want to build a what we would call a legacy home. And so for us, what that looks like is it's a home that has modern amenities. So, you know, stove thing, dishwasher, everything, like running water, like it's got modern amenities, but in case of like power outage, whatever, it has old world capabilities, like a home from the old world. So it's got a hearth, like we want large fireplace in both the upstairs and the downstairs. So we're going to design it in such a way that it has that. It has a root cellar so we can store vegetables we've grown and they can be stored for the winter. We want, you know, a well. We want to look into just, you know, things that they used back in the day when they didn't have all the luxuries we have now. And it's not that we want to necessarily use those things and live like that. We just want it to be built into our home, into the framework of our home. So it's like a generational home that we hope our kids will hang on to and pass down from generation to generation, because I don't know. I mean, you saw them shutting off power in California to people who were meeting, like churches, weren't they threatening it? I don't know if they actually did, but like they were going to like shut power off and stuff. It's just like, I don't know where things are going to go, and you don't want to be doomsday and act all Armageddon about stuff. But at the same time, like, I don't know. We just like the idea of having that kind of security blanket. Yeah. So that's kind of us. That's a little more extreme than maybe some people. And again, everybody's gonna, you know, I've had people message me, I'm in a blue state and my whole family's here and we don't want to leave. Like, oh, what do I do? And I'm like, then don't leave, like pray about it. And if you guys feel called to stay there, like, then don't, like, then that's where you need to be. Like, I think a lot of people think that, you know, it's got to all only look one way for everyone. And that's far from the truth. I think we just need to continue to be inspired by one another's ideas, whether you are in an apartment in downtown somewhere, or you're in a suburb, suburban home, or out on a farm. There's so many ways to look at doing this. So
the next sponsor I want to tell you about is Little Light Artisans. Little Light Artisans makes handcrafted wood and resin earrings. Now, these earrings are actually some of my favorites. I'm not just saying that. I own several pairs and I love wearing them. Little Light Artisans is a small Christian family-owned business, and you are not going to find earrings like theirs anywhere else. So people notice them, they compliment me on them all the time. You can browse their designs on their Instagram at Little Light Artisans and find them at littlelightartisans.com. And they are giving Kindled listeners 20% off any order with the coupon code TAKE20. So don't forget to enter TAKE20 at checkout for 20% off any order. Check them out at littlelightartisans.com.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because the answer is not everybody go buy land and build a legacy home. Like, that might be right for some people like you, but like you said, like, it's perfectly fine not to have that dream and to love being in, you know, a little neighborhood with a neighborhood pool. Like, that's okay. It's fine. And you, and God, like, he can use you wherever you are, of course. So what we're not saying is that everyone needs to make their life look exactly like yours or mine. But that we can all take some of these skills and we can adapt them to our lives. And we can, just by virtue of practicing some of these things like gardening or sewing or baking or anything else, we are becoming less dependent on the system, on the government, on, you know, the morality of our elected officials or not. Like, we are unhinging ourselves, like, one thread at a time, in a sense, from absolute dependence on them. And that's the goal. That's the
goal.
That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is not, you know, hooking your livelihood and your health and your ability to live and your children's ability to live on people who are godless pagans who actually want your ill. You know, that's kind of the whole point. So it's just how can we, how can we do that one little bit at a time? And so I think, you know, I think that really opens it up, and it's a very open-ended question that everyone can answer uniquely for themselves. But, you know, in light of that, you know, at the end of the day, our ultimate hope is not in even being independent or doing any of the things we're talking about. Like, these are good things to do and pursue, but for someone who maybe has, like, let's just say there's a family who has, like, a child with a disability, and they can't do any of the things we're talking about right now, and they're like, oh no, what am I gonna do? I don't have time for a gardener, or maybe my child is demanding too much for me right now because whatever, or I have a newborn, or any given situation, or caring for an elderly parent. Like, again, your hope is not in being independent from the government. It's not, like, ultimately our hope is in Jesus Christ. And so, you know, like, don't let anything that we're saying burden you in an unnecessary way.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it any better than that. That's true. Yes. We can't put our hope in our plans. As we know, our plans are not our own, and we put those in a sovereign God who's got it all mapped out. He knows. Right. You know, everything that's coming down the chute, and our job is to obey and pray and just walk in wisdom. And
like we started out saying, like, we may start down a path and have plans that we are pursuing, and God may really redirect us, like he has with both of us. And so, you know, who knows?
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah. And my husband and I have said that. I'm like, you know what? This is, you know, this is kind of like our plan right now, but it could change. And he's like, yeah, it could change. He's like, nothing phases that guy. I'm always on, you know, I'm kind of a what if person, by habit more so, but he's pretty like, you know, just kind of will bend with the wind and take it stride and stride. So, So again, encouragement here is just to be thinking about it, to be aware, to if you can make small changes, pray about it.
Yeah, it's so helpful. Any resources you would recommend for people who are interested in learning more or maybe getting a little more like in the weeds with all of this?
Well, as you and I would both recommend, Live Not by Lies by Rob Dreher.
Dreher.
And is a great book. Yeah. I have it in front of me right here.
Oh, good.
And then one book that I have been really browsing that I got is The Backyard Homestead. Another great book. It talks kind of like you and I did about like how to use a fourth of an acre, half an acre. Like, so it really kind of speaks to people with smaller little plots of land and how they can best utilize those. So this is a great book. I don't have it with me right now, but Square Foot Gardening is another good book. That's how I started gardening and learned about soil composition for a garden bed and what works best. Mm-hmm. And learned a lot about composting, which is another thing you can do from pretty much anywhere. So Square Foot Gardening is another amazing book, one that I would highly recommend for people just getting started with gardening, vegetable gardening. So those are two or three books that I love that I think you guys, that your listeners would love. And then on Instagram, Self-Sufficient Backyard is a fun one to follow on Instagram. And I think they have a book as well that I do not have yet, and a website, that's pretty wonderful, but they have some great memes about like big government and how to be independent from big government. They're awesome. So Self-Sufficient Backyard is them. And then another one is Backwoods Home Magazine. That's a subscription, I believe, magazine subscription. I think they said, I can't remember if you get 24 copies a year, like you get quite a few copies per year. But anyway, they send out a monthly subscription, magazine subscription, and they talk about everything. They talk about hunting. They talk about if if somebody in your family shoots a deer, how to dress it and cook it. And so they kind of break down some of these self-sufficient ideas and show you how to do it on your own. So so that's another good one, Backwoods Home Magazine. So those are the ones right now I would recommend. I'm sure there's so many more. I mean, as you said, on Pinterest, you could literally search homesteading, gardening, have you, and you're gonna get a ton of
Gonna be overwhelmed, so just be aware. I will link all of those in the show notes for listeners so they can usually just click over and find those things that you mentioned. So thank you so much. And where do people connect with you online?
So you could follow me on Instagram, and my handle is Samantha E for Elizabeth, Samantha E Collins. I'd love to see you there and meet you. So say hi if you give me a follow.
Yeah. Samantha shares a ton of great stuff. I love your stories because they're always so, it'll be you stripping like seeds from your cucumbers and drying them, then hopping over to like talking about international global news, And so it's just like, it's such a nice mix, but it's a good account. It's a good, you're a great follow because you do share a lot of practical stuff and just show people what you're doing. So I've been amazed at like how much your garden even is yielding. It's amazing. A lot of stuff.
It's been fun. We got a lot of pumpkins growing. Our corn got attacked by deer the other night, so we picked that really quick. And then, we have some tomatoes left and eggplant and stuff like that. So it's definitely fun. And it's so fun to watch the kids get excited about seeing things growing too. So,
And I'm always jealous of your garden because for anyone that follows me on Instagram probably knows now that we have a squirrel issue in Kansas, especially in our backyard is like squirrel central. They love it. And the reason is because we don't have dogs and I refuse to get a dog and I don't want a dog. But that therefore means anything I grow is game for the squirrels. And so we have had to get rid of our grapevines because for 3 years in a row, those got destroyed. Our blackberry vine got destroyed by the squirrels. When I've had vegetables, I've had to just get so ruthless with like chicken wire and stuff. And it's insane. But I mean, I didn't do many vegetables this year just because we redid like we got rid of the garden that we did have and put in a swing set. And then I downsized to something much smaller. But when I have, I've just been like, you know, I guess that this is why people back in the olden days had, you know, guard dogs, because not only for their safety, but also to protect their food, because the squirrels were vicious. And
so
that is a hard aspect of it. My dream is to have like a greenhouse, like property big enough that I could have I just don't want to mess. Like, I'm like, okay, if I don't have a dog, I gotta have a greenhouse. Like, that's pretty much the only other way.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you've mentioned the squirrels before me. Do you guys, what about cats? Are you guys cat people?
We're not. I've had both a cat and a dog.
Okay.
I can't do pets. I really can't.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, you know. I don't know. You might have to look online for solutions. And have you tried to like deter them by like putting
feeding
seeds
them
out somewhere, like making them
not really. I've heard that, but my concern is that it would just like make my house even more squirrel central. And then, they would just be like, oh, cool. A little snack on the stop off to your nice blackberry vine. Thanks, lady. You're dumb.
Here's the starter.
Yeah. Here's your appetizer before you have your full entree, you selfish little beast. So yeah.
Awesome.
Oh my.
They might do that. Yeah.
You know, we can't all be as amazing as you, Samantha. So fine. I'll just be over here making it. I'm learning.
I'm learning, but. So, and taking tips for anybody that's farther along in doing this kind of thing. I mean, I have a lot of people on my Instagram who have been coaching me along too. So
that's awesome.
I don't claim to be an expert at all by any sense of it, but I do love to inspire people and network. So
yeah,
you know, stop on by, those of you listening, and say hi.
Great. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Yeah, thank you. You have a good one.
You guys, thank you so much for listening today. I hope that episode just kind of gets you excited to start thinking about ways that you can hone some new skills, whether that is gardening or raising animals or sewing, whatever it may be, just taking care of your home and your family, stewarding the resources that you have, and building the skills that you don't have. I mean, I think that's what my goal is. You know, obviously we got chickens, which I didn't mention because I recorded this before we got chickens, but you know, I have 14 chickens now, and that's both sort of a hobby, but also a way for us to be a little more food independent. Eggs are continue to get expensive. We're not coming out ahead on our egg operation here financially, but what we are doing is becoming less dependent on getting our food from a grocery store. And believe me, I still order Instacart every single week, multiple times a week. So I'm not the most extreme homesteader that you know. I'm not even a homesteader. I just know that I want to do what I can to be independent with the resources I have where I'm at. And that's, I think, the heart behind this is, Just to think a little bit more critically about what you can do with your apartment balcony or with your tiny little backyard or your 1 acre plot or your 10 acres of land, whatever it is that you have, we can use that to the glory of God and we can steward it well. So I hope that was encouraging for you. Don't forget to follow Samantha on Instagram at Samantha E. Collin. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. I'll see you on Friday, if you're inside the Firestarters community. If not, catch you next Monday. Bye.